Tonight, President Mahama fires back at the Chief Justice Gertrude Torkornoo as he gives her 10 days to respond to the petitions against her, expressing his displeasure in leaking her letter to the public even before it gets to him. We have details as a governance expert calls for changes to the constitutional provision in terms of who can petition for the removal of the Chief Justice.
For an individual to torpedo somebody in high position, I think we need to question that. In some other jurisdictions, if you want to get somebody impeached or dismissed, people in such high positions, if you did the petition, you'll be required to have at least 100,000 signatures
right,
to bring some gravity to the issue. You see? So I think this is one of the...
We'll explore what the law really says as a professor of law is calling for the CJA to step aside as the investigations continue.
Probably she may have to step aside. That is what I'm reading into this. And if she's not there, the next in highest in rank will step in. So probably that's what is going to happen. I think it might be good.
We have all of them here on Top Story, brought to you by Telecel, Connecting Energies and Holy Insecticide Spray and Coil. Enjoy a holy sleep. Tonight, President John Dramani Mahama has fired back at the Chief Justice Gertrude Torkornoo following her demand for the president to furnish her with petitions for her response. Now, just yesterday, the Chief Justice Torkornoo asked that the petitions against her to be given to her by the president and the Council of State and given 7 days for her to respond, for that to form part of the material that the president can consult the council, leading to the possible formation of a committee of inquiry under Article 1467. Today, the president has responded to that request with a strongly worded letter, giving her 10 days to respond to the petitions against them. My colleague James Kwesi-Aveji has been pouring through all of these documents plus the response from the president and joins me in studio with more. Kwesi, you have been coming through this long letter, which first reveals that the CJA may have hastened in writing to the president, requesting to be heard.
Yes, Brace. So this letter is dated today, the 28th of March 2025, and it starts by saying that following receipt of these petitions on 24th of March 2025, His Excellency wrote to the Chairman of the Council of State forwarding the petitions and informing Council that in accordance with the consultation process required under Article 146, Clause 6, he intends, as an initial step, to send the petitions to you for your preliminary comment and response. Now, on 27th March 2025, 3 days later, His Excellency received responses from the Chairman of the Council of State consenting to this request. Copies of these letters are also attached to the letter that we sent to her. Now, upon receipt of the petitions, His Excellency was advised that per Frank J. Chum versus Attorney General and Bright Akwete 2005-2006, the confidentiality attached to proceedings under Article 146 also extends to the documents and other relevant materials employed in the proceedings. And so that is the chronology of conversation between the president and the Council of State. Petitions received on 24th. The president wrote to the Council of State on petitions received earlier in the year, as at 14 February. The president then wrote to the Council of State on the 24th March. Reason why we saw the release from the president's communications ministry, the minister in charge of government communication, on the night of 24th.
Okay.
Now, 2 days or 3 days later, which was yesterday, the president then got the response from the Council of State. It was the same yesterday that the Chief Justice recited her letter to the president requesting to be responded to, which means that if she had waited a little bit, she could have gotten the communication from the president based on the advice of the Council of State as sent to the president by the council.
Okay, but the president in the same letter is expressing his displeasure with the CJ.
Why exactly? That? So the letter says, quote, His Excellency, however, note with disappointment that your letter of 27th March 2025 addressed to him was circulated on social media when before... Even before he could review its content, the letter was reportedly shared as an attachment to another letter you wrote to the President of the Supreme Court, the President of the Association of Magistrates and Judges, and the President of the Ghana Bar Association. And so, I mean, that is the president there saying that before he could receive that letter, it had already gone viral, for which reason he is registering his displeasure. He goes on to say that, therefore, we are constrained to mark each page of the attachment of this letter, quote-unquote, restricted. Mm. Finally, His Excellency wishes to assure you that due process will be followed in the issues, the look into the matter. Therefore, we are constrained to mark each page as restricted. And so that's the letter from the president going to the Chief Justice.
Okay, but the Chief Justice, according to the president, has 10 days to respond to the petitions.
That's the concluding paragraph, right, actually. And so he says, accordingly, you are respectfully requested to submit your preliminary response to the petitions within 10 days of receipt of this letter to facilitate further consultation between His Excellency and the Council of State. And this has been signed by the President's Secretary, Callistus Mahama, as we have cited. It has been copied to the Honorable Doa Jahu, who is Chairman of the Council of State and a former Speaker of Parliament.
Okay, all right, we'll go on the phone line shortly, but first, listen to the take of a former UN Senior Governance Advisor, Professor Bafo Ajimandia, and when he spoke on the pause earlier today to my colleague Elton Brobe.
Well, I'm hoping that now that the process is underway, and I think all sides are getting clarity on the process, I hope it will proceed and that the right thing will be done. Of course, if there's a basis for dismissing the Chief Justice, so be it. I mean, we want to have a rule of law in the country. On the other hand, if not, but let me point out something here.
Right.
This whole issue of petitioning for dismissal of people in very high positions in our country, I'm hoping that the current committee reviewing the constitution, we take a look at it. You see, the constitution allows every individual Ghanaian to file a petition. And oftentimes, like it happened in the case of the first electoral commission who was disposed, Charlotte Osei, nobody knew the contents. Nobody knows the identity of that individual. And to make it so easy for an individual to torpedo somebody in high position, I think we need to question that. In some other jurisdictions, if you want to get somebody impeached or dismissed, people in such high positions, if you did the petition, you'll be required to have at least 100,000 signatures to bring some gravity to the issue. You see, so I think this is one of the serious, to my view, serious gaps in the way we are managing these kinds of matters. So I think we should revisit how, first of all, trying to secure the independence of the judiciary by maybe delimiting the extent to which the president appoints and all, and secondly, getting rid of people in such positions just by a mere single petition by an individual. I think that's completely wrong. We need to change that.
So that's Professor Ajiman Diade. But time for me to bring in the Minister of State in charge of government communication, Felix Kwachiofosu here. I'm grateful to you, sir, for joining us. Now, we read from this letter that the president is not pleased with the CJ. Why that?
Well, the process guiding the review of the petitions brought against the CJ and what needs to be done going forward are to be done in a manner that respects confidentiality. It is the reason why when the president received the petition and he forwarded him to the Council of State for consultation, he didn't publish the petitions. We only announced that such a thing has taken place. So it was to be expected that in communicating with the president to request for copies of the petition, the same level of confidentiality would be respected. In any event, when the president wrote to the Council of State on the 24th of March, 2025, he not only forwarded the petitions to them, he notified them of his intent as part of the steps towards addressing this matter to forward the same petition to the Chief Justice for her preliminary remarks. Indeed, the Council of State responded to the President's letter on 27th March 2025. And today, the President has written to the Chief Justice forwarding the petitions to her. And therefore, it is surprising that a matter that is clearly spelled out in law in terms of its handling should find its way into the media in the manner that it did, coming from the Chief Justice. That is what surprised the president a bit, and that is why he expressed that reservation in the letter to the Chief Justice.
Yeah. But why didn't the presidency forward these petitions to her? But until she requested for them as a result of the letter that she saw in the media communicating the intent of the president to do so.
But I just spoke to you. I've told you what has happened. I'm surprised that you're asking me to repeat what I've just
said. I'm only asking.
First of all, that the law is clear that the president must act on this in consultation with the Council of State. So the first point of call is not to forward the petition to the Chief Justice. The first point of call is to consult the Council of State on the next steps forward. So before forwarding the petitions to the Chief Justice, the president had to consult the Chief Justice, the Council of State, which he did. The Council of State needed to respond formally to the president's entreaty before he could take the step, and that is precisely what has happened.
Okay.
So it is not true that the president has responded to the Chief Justice's request. It is something that he was going to do anyway. The Chief Justice perhaps also felt that she needed to be given copies of the petition and given time to make preliminary responses. But that is all well and good, except that it is not something that should have found its way into the media. In the same way that the president has preserved the sanctity and confidentiality of this process up to this point, the only thing that you know is that petitions have been brought in against the Chief Justice. That is all. But you've not seen the petition. You've not heard about the content of the petition. The letter written to the Council of State is not a matter of public knowledge. And therefore, you will not expect that kind of breach from the end of the Chief Justice. That is why the president expressed that reservation in his letter.
Well, yesterday we spoke to a former chairman of the Constitutional and Petitions Committee of the Council of State, and he said such an instance happened before, but before they got the petition, it came with the response from the CJ, whom the petition was about. So why didn't it happen in the same in this case?
You are repeating the question.
No, I'm not. I'm not.
No,
I'm,
no, no,
I'm,
no,
no, hold on, hold on. I'm saying no. But if you look at the law and you look at the case that has ever happened, that has become a reference in this case. Even the Chief Justice referenced it. Ajay Chin versus Attorney General and Akwete. Before you form the prima facie, the person around whom this matter concerns has to be heard. Fair hearing, natural justice.
Again, you are not listening to me. You are
I am listening to you clearly. I'm listening
first
to you.
First of all, where in the law does it say that before the president forwards the petition to the Council of State, there must be a response from the subject? There's nowhere that the law says that. There's no case law, no pronouncement, judicial pronouncement that says so. The only pronouncement is that before the prima facie case is determined, the subjects about whom the petition has been presented must be heard from. That is exactly what the president has done. So the Chief Justice has 10 days within which to provide the responses. Then the president and the Council of State will study the responses against the petition and make a determination as to whether or not there has been a prima facie case before forwarding same to the committee that will be formed. So in all honesty, I don't think that your question is properly situated. Merely repeating what someone has told you does not constitute...
Not what someone has told me, but I refer to you a case in this particular instance where it has become, the Supreme Court is the body that interprets the Constitution. The Supreme Court, in the case of Ajay Chin versus Attorney General Akwete, made a certain pronouncement, which the Chief Justice has referred to. And I'm basing on that to ask you, why wasn't that done? I'm not repeating questions. I'm only seeking for education on that.
Listen, I'm asking you to tell me where in the Supreme Court ruling it is said that before the president consults the Council of State, there must be a response from the person against whom the petition has been presented. The Supreme Court does not say that. It only says that before the prima facie is determined. As I speak to you, prima facie has not been determined. The president has written to the Chief Justice asking for her responses today, 28 March 2025. The president wrote to the Council of State 4 days ago asking for their comments on his intent to forward the petition to the Chief Justice for her responses. So nothing has been done against Ghanaian law. Everything that has been done according to the book. So again, your question is not properly situated. It does not arise at all, given the narration I've given you and given the evidence on record.
Okay, that's fine. But the Chief Justice also says that in her request letter that she only got to know about the existence of such petition on social media. In the letter you signed announcing that a petition have been forwarded to the Council of State, why didn't you also write only to notify her in private, but her letter was in the media? That's how she also, when she responded, it got to the media. But the president isn't happy about that.
First of all, the petition is not in the media. Even the letter written to the Council of State is not in the media. When I issued my statement, I did not attach a copy of the letter written to the Council of State. I merely reported on behalf of President Mahama to the people of Ghana that he has received 3 petitions which he has forwarded to the Council of State as part of the consultation process. That is all. So the Chief Justice could well have also issued a statement informing the people of Ghana that she had written to the President for ABCD to be done without putting out the letter itself. So the matters must be delineated carefully. There is absolutely nothing wrong with notifying the people of Ghana who voted for President Mahama and on whose behalf the Chief Justice acts that such a process is currently taking place. That is different from leaking a letter to you with the contents of the petition. That has not happened. And again, you need to show me where in Ghanaian law it is said that such a thing must happen.
So the president has given the CJ 10 days to respond. Once the CJ prepares to respond, or after she does that, what will happen next?
The process is very clear.
Okay.
And again, I've repeated it in my answer on 2 occasions to you in the last few minutes. Once that happens, it will be weighed against the allegations contained in the petition. And then the president and Council of State will determine whether the prima facie has been established. If that were to be the case, then a committee is formed, and the membership and composition of the committee is clearly spelled out in Ghanaian law. It is they who will look into the merits of the case and determine the guilt or otherwise of the Chief Justice, and then make their recommendations thereof. So the legal position is clear, and that is precisely what President Mahama has followed up to this point. Up to this point, President Mahama has not put out any information that he should not put out.
I'm grateful to you for joining us. Felix Ofosu-Kwakye is the Minister of State in charge of government communications. We have Oliver Barker-Vormawor, who once, and undertook similar, step of petitioning the government against the Electoral Commission. Oliver is with us on the line. Oliver, I'm grateful to you for joining us here. First, your initial thought about the response of the president to the CJ. Is it in place?
I think that, the political significance of this is something that should not be lost on all of us.
Okay.
we have the President of the Republic who is writing to the Chief Justice and telling the Chief Justice that I do not trust in your discretion not to leak this into the public as you have done on previous occasions, and by which reason I am giving it the security classification of restricted. Now, in terms of our security classification, a letter might be marked confidential, which is for international purposes, restricted, and from restricted and you have top secret. So it's the almost second highest level of classification of material. It's significant, right? It's a display of a lack of confidence in a person who occupies the office of the Chief Justice. And I think it's unfortunate that the Chief Justice has allowed her, I don't know whether it's emotions or whatever it is, to place herself in a position where the presidency will lose trust in her ability to keep her mouth shut.
But, I mean, what has she done really to have the presidency distrust her in this particular matter? Just because of her letter to the presidency being in the public space?
The president, the Chief Justice communicates with the president and is entitled to communicate to the president on many occasions without the public getting a copy of it on social media. Let us contextualize what is happening, okay? The Chief Justice is complaining that she has not seen a copy of the court. In that, there are many of us who hold the view that she has no legal entitlement to that. But that's beside the point. Before this was done, a member of parliament on the opposition bench filed an action in the Supreme Court alleging that the Chief Justice has not received a copy of the petition. Information that none of us in the public are privy to at the time this is filed. Not only that, the former attorney general in the last government is the one who filed the action in the Supreme Court on the president's behalf. This immediately then raises concern that these are proxies who are acting on behalf of the Chief Justice. That is concerning. Okay? Then subsequently, having then recognized the error when the public were questioned about how do you know, a letter then is released into the public domain, not only addressed to the president, who is the only person who is competent to have received the petition, but addressed to the Council of State, the Council of State does not communicate with any other institution except the president. The advice to the president is between them and the president. Everything they do is confidential. They show an oath of secrecy. And the letter is addressed to the chair of the Council of State. Another letter, the same letter is also addressed to Sophia Kupo, who is a member of the Council of State. Again, in no position as the president you should be communicating with. Beyond that, the letter is sent to the bar. The letter is sent to the Association of Judges and Magistrates. Because everybody else in this country, except the president, gets the letter. Conduct which is a bit concerning. In fact, professionally immature, I don't know what conduct that is. So I think, yes, the president is absolutely correct in judging that there's a lack of discretion here on the part of the president of the Chief Justice. That is undermining of her office, in my opinion. In fact, it rises to the level of misbehavior and incompetence, in fact.
I mean, you are a lawyer yourself, so help us and appreciate this. Now that the president has given the CJ 10 days to respond to the petitions, what is likely to happen to the cases that were filed at the Supreme Court in this particular matter?
I mean, they are immediately moot and of no purpose. In fact, it's one of the tone-deaf things that I surprised people continue to do. I saw the same thing happen with this injunction that was filed presumably to stay the hand of the president in the removal of COP Dampare. And I'm seeing the same kind of immature politics here at play. It expires and it becomes moot ab initio. And it is even concerning that immediately this is filed, irrespective of the fact that so many other things have been filed in the Supreme Court, the Chief Justice causes this to be set down for hearing on the 2nd of April immediately. It reminds me of what happened again when Antonio Martin filed that petition in the case in Parliament. Then that afternoon, Supreme Court is convened to sit on it. These are some of the things that create the perception of bias that a lot of people are uncomfortable with. So ultimately, the end result does not paint the judiciary in a good light. And these are some of the actions that continue to cause, you know, a bit of apprehension generally. But there's a point I want to comment on,
okay,
which is this idea of the enhanced, that there has to be absolute secrecy of this process. I personally do not agree. I don't think it enhances our democracy in any way. That we would wake up one day and we hear on the news that the Chief Justice has been given for the recommendation of a committee that nobody knew about by the president. As a person in that office, I honestly think that we need to look at this again. of course, the process and the petition or the hearing itself, if there's an understanding that should be an inquiry, I don't have any problem with. But the idea that the public should have no idea that anything is happening, all we should find out is that the Chief Justice has been removed, I think undermines our democracy, and I believe in the fairness of processes. So I don't think that a democracy thrives in silence. In fact, it is benefit to the public for us to have these conversations and to prepare our minds that certain things are happening in the process than to be completely in the dark and wake up to the news that Chief Justice Tokonu has been removed by the president.
I'm grateful to you, Oliver Bakavomo, for speaking to us here. But earlier on the pulse, Associate Professor of Law at the University of Ghana Law School, Professor Etia, expressed the viewpoint that it has come to a point where it's possible for the CJ to step aside when the investigations continue.
Probably she may have to step aside. That is my what I'm reading into this. And if she's not there, the next in highest in rank will step in. So probably that's what is going to happen. I think it might be good for that step to be taken so that she can focus on the case, and it will also not disturb any judicial, any administrative processes within the judiciary that she may have to perform at that time.
Well, the discussion will continue wherever you are. This has been Top Story, brought to you by Telecel, connecting energies and holy insecticide spray and coil. Enjoy a holy sleep. Where we were built to speak to the MP for Vincent Tesefo, but unfortunately, we were not able to get through his line. But grateful that you were able to stay with us. My name is Samuel Kojo Brace. Up next is Ghana Connect with Kweku Asante.